on House Bill 2020 and open a work session on House Bill 2020. Mark, what do we have?
Representative Canope and members of the committee, you have before you the conference committee amendments establishing the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan for new public employees hired after the effective date of the act. We have Council Hendricks here to describe it or answer any questions.
Dave, why don't you come on up? Can you kind of give us a section-by-section overview of what we've done?
Chair Knopf, members of the committee, Dave Hendricks, Senior Deputy Legislative Counsel. If you want to just run through them real quick, I can kind of point out. Several of these things are technical, and I think I'll probably just cut to the more significant pieces. Let's see. On page 2, at lines 8 through 11, there was concern about the so-called break in service provisions in the bill. If you leave Tier 1 or Tier 2 position for more than 6 months, the general rule is that when you come back to public employment, you'd be underneath the Oregon retirement plan. This amendment on page 2 allows a person to serve in the legislative assembly, not have a break in service. If they have a session that goes on for 7 or 8 months, hopefully, you know, dealing with that, they would still go back on as a Tier 1 or Tier 2. The next significant change is on page 3 at the bottom, starting at line 28. This amendment allows local officials other than legislators to opt not to become a member of the plan when they're elected. Some local officials had indicated they like to have that option, just not to become a member of the plan to maintain total neutrality on the system. So this allows the scouting commissioner to elect not to to become a member of the plan when they go into office. A significant change on page 4 is at line 11. This is an issue under the existing first plan. It basically says under the existing plan, if you retire on July 1st, on August 1st, you get a cost of living increase, which is kind of strange since, you know, you haven't really experienced any inflation. This change means that under the Oregon retirement plan, if you retire on July 1st, what you're going to get is 1/12 of the increase that will come out a month later. So it shoves it down to where it's proportional to how long you've been retired.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Menis.
Dave, how does that apply to equal to or better than?
Chair Knopf, Senator Menis, it all goes into the mix, is I guess what I would say. As you know, the equal to or better than plans, they look at the value of PERS as a whole. As I remember, we have left the equal to or better plan pretty much untouched by these amendments and by the plan generally. When this plan goes into effect, I would presume that PERS will look at people hired after the effective date of the act, just as they look at Tier 2 members now as well, for purposes of equal to or better plans to determine whether or not that plan still complies for the purposes of people hired on or after the effective date. So each of these individual pieces more or less calculate into that. No particular one is going to have a direct impact where you say, well, I have to change the equal to or better plan because they changed this here, but it's going to calculate into whether or not they are in fact equal to or better than. Does that help?
Well, I don't want to necessarily belabor the point, but this particular section applies to persons who are receiving a pension benefit of some sort and then re-enter the system. Is that right? right. Help me understand.
The COLA provision here, the cost of living one?
I'm
no,
sorry.
This is actually about the cost of living increase.
All right, I'm sorry. That's what I'm not following then. Disregard.
Down on lines 22, starting on line 22, is another significant change also relating to service in the Legislative Assembly. The policy decision reflected here is that if you're a retired member under the Oregon Retirement Plan and you're elected to the Legislative Assembly, it gives you an election to simply say you can do that without giving up your pension, but you're not going to accrue additional credit under the Oregon Retirement Plan or under the other plan that we're setting up for later on in the bill. So it removes a disincentive for a retired person to run for office, since they would not have to give up their pension as the price of becoming a member of the Legislative Assembly. On page 5, starting at line 16, new section 44B, these are some significant changes. The first one limits the power of the board to make changes to the system by rule or other administrative action that has the effect of increasing benefits. What this means is that if, in fact, some action does need to be taken that has that effect, they will need to come back to the Legislative Assembly to get approval before they take that action. Actually, the Legislative Assembly will have to take the action rather than the board. It doesn't apply to changes they need to make to maintain the tax qualification for the system. Section 44C indicates that any law enacted after January 1st, 2004 that increases benefits won't apply to legislators. Now, that's more or less kind of, obviously there's no way to make that binding, and that's easy to change by future legislature, but it's on the books, and they will have to recognize that if the future legislatures pass laws increasing benefits, they will need to specifically say, notwithstanding 44C, that change is going to apply to legislators. On the next page, 44D, is the statement of legislative intent relating to increased benefits, indicating that the intent is that if there's to be any increase and benefits under this plan, it should be done through changes in the individual account program, the defined contribution portion of the plan, rather than through changes in the pension program, the defined benefit part portion. Section 44E is the so-called startup cost provision, which allows the board to use existing monies in the fund to fund the startup costs of the plan. This is language that was submitted by the Attorney General and that we worked out with them on getting it as close as we could. It basically provides for a loan from the existing monies to pay for the startup costs with repayment back as the contributions come in, and it's otherwise providing the bill for how these things would be paid for. For instance, the defined contribution plan, the individual account program, is paid for by the members. So if money is loaned over for the individual account program, the member accounts have to pay for any costs that are borrowed here to get the startup on the plan. On page 7, down at line 25, requires fiscal impact statements for all bills that would increase employer contributions, requires that those fiscal statements be provided to the board, who is then directed to send them out to local governments. So all public participating public employers. So this is a way to alert all of the employers of proposed changes that would cost them, to make sure that everybody's aware in advance. On page 8, starting at line 13, we have the provisions relating to the plan's options for people who are elected or appointed to the Legislative Assembly. For new legislators coming in, the rule will be they'll have three choices. They can say, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to have any sort of retirement plan at all. That's option one. they can say, I want to be underneath the Oregon Retirement Plan. And they would come in just like any other member underneath the Oregon Retirement Plan.
The Oregon Public Service Retirement
Plan. Excuse me. I haven't gotten used to that. That's the
You
that,
will.
That happened in the last 45 minutes or so. You can select to become part of the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan. And once again, your benefit will be based on the formula for those for the formula thing. So as is the case with PERS now, it will not be a very huge benefit because salary is a key piece of that formula, and legislative salaries just don't produce a very large benefit. You will have the 6% set aside out of the salary, though, for the individual account program. And the final option that's put forward is to go into the Oregon Savings Growth Plan, which is an option you have now to set aside a portion of your salary into the Oregon Savings Growth Plan. But we have added an additional provision that indicates that if you do that, that the Legislative Assembly will contribute 6% of salary as well as an employer contribution. So it'll be a pure match program if you decide to go that way. They will match you up to 6%. Under the Oregon Savings Growth Plan, you can put in more than that if you want for savings persons of the legislator's salary, but the employer contribution is capped at 6%. Section 46B on page 9 is the provision for existing members of the Legislative Assembly, and the essential thing there is that an existing member can elect to remain underneath Chapter 238, Tier 1 or Tier 2. And if you will an existing legislator will have that option until they have a break in service, which means that the same rule would apply if a legislator left the Legislative Assembly. They are going to have a break in service because 6 months is the rule. So if you're out for 2 years and come back in, then you will come in as an Oregon Retirement Plan member. Section 46C is simply the provision providing for the Oregon Growth Plan changes. Section 46D is a provision that was put in for public employees who are elected or appointed to the Legislative Assembly. The issue there being whether or not those people, During the legislative session, a public employee who comes in and who's Tier 1 or Tier 2 will have to make an election just as any other legislator, but only for the purpose of the legislative session, period of the legislative session. As soon as they leave session, go back to their regular employment, they go back to their old status. So by coming here, being elected, you will not be entitled to continue to receive Chapter 238 benefits, Tier 1, Tier 2 benefits during session, but when you go back, you will start up again where you left off with your Tier 1 or Tier 2 status. Page 12, starting at 46E, are the amendments to 238-300. What these changes do is basically provide that legislators appointed or elected here on out are going to go to the 1.67 of the normal member instead of the 2% that the police and fire have. So existing members who elect to stay under 238, under the provisions we talked about earlier, will be receiving 1.67% for the purposes of service on or after the next election. So that was an important piece of that change. And then the final change is on the last page, there was a provision here. They wanted to make sure that people serving on the MLAC, advisory committee, that A, they have some job protection if they're public employees, and also that their wages be paid while they're being released to duty for those purposes. So there are amendments there on page 18 at the bottom of the canvas to provide for that. And that's it. And I'd be happy to try to answer.
Questions from me? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Corcoran.
I move the -B27 amendments to House Bill 2020.
Senator Corcoran has moved the -B27 amendments to House Bill 2020. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, they are adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Corcoran.
Move House Bill 2020 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Corcoran has moved House Bill 2020 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Corcoran.
I'd just like to thank you for your good work on this. I know this last leg of the trifecta was very difficult, and I want to thank you for your good work on it.
Thank you, sir. Others? Seeing no one else, clerk, call the roll.
Representative Brown.
Aye.
Senator Corcoran.
Aye.
Representative McPherson.
Aye.
Senator Lynn.
No.
Chair.
I'm just kidding, yes. That was equal to or better than a yes.
So Senator Menace was a yes?
Yes.
Aye. Having received the required number of votes, House Bill 2020 is sent to the floor as a due pass recommendation. Representative McPherson will carry on the House side.
We're going to do it jointly on the Senate side. Please.
Jointly on the Senate side, Senators Corcoran and Menace. Thank you. And if there's nothing else, I think the committee's adjourned.
We need to
stick around to sign.